After getting all the regulatory approvals to take over Lonmin, Sibanye-Stillwater's pursuit of the platinum player may be under threat. Sibanye-Stillwater's bid for Lonmin took place in December 2017. At the time, participants were happy with the terms of the deal, but what has happened since is that the value of some PGMs has shot up, while at the same time the value of Sibanye's share price has also fallen considerably. And given that it's set to pay for its stake with its shares, some shareholders are beginning to call into question whether it's still a good deal. Minority shareholders are apparently pushing for the Public Investment Corporation to veto the current terms of the deal, as it has a 29.3% stake in Lonmin. Well, to break down the issues for us, I'm joined on the line by Willem Hertog. He's a mining analyst at Roosendaal Partners. Thanks very much for joining us, Willem. What were the original terms of the Sibanye takeover of Lonmin? And just detail to us the significant variables that have changed and why some are now having second thoughts about the deal going ahead.
Hi, Nampu. The original terms of the deal was for Sibanye to issue 0.965, I think was the exchange ratio of Sibanye shares for each Lonmin share in that takeover transaction. So the transaction consideration was always Sibanye shares. So if the deal went through, Lonmin shareholders were, their fortune was always tied to the Sibanye share price ever since the deal looked like it would proceed.
Hmm.
That was fine, as you mentioned, late 2017 when the platinum price and the rand platinum price, and specifically the palladium price, was still in the doldrums and not nearly as high as it has been recently. And Lonmin's very existence seemed to be under threat at that time because Lonmin was not competitive on a cost basis in the context of those low metal prices.
Yes.
In the subsequent 18 months, the palladium price specifically, also the rhodium price, and to a lesser extent the rand platinum price, have increased quite sharply, and that's resulted in a scenario where if you annualize Lonmin's most recent profitability, then Sibanye is effectively paying one times operating profits for the entire Lonmin.
Hmm.
Now, that is a steal by anyone's measure, and but, I mean, that's the vagaries of the platinum industry and of mining. And I think one should keep in mind that originally, the original appeal of the transaction for Sibanye was mainly Lonmin's above-ground processing infrastructure, the smelters, the refineries.
Yes.
And that appeal is still there. And they didn't need the platinum price to recover sharply for the deal to make sense for them. And one does feel somewhat that shareholders are now almost crying over spilled milk because Sibanye stepped into the fold and was opportunistic and brave to make an offer at that time.
Mm.
Now things look a bit better over the past 3 to 6 months, and now suddenly shareholders are buying for an increased offer where they were happy to accept the exchange ratio 18 months ago. So one gets where they're coming from, but it is maybe a bit disingenuous to now ask for a better offer.
Mm, I hear you. So PIC can really be a game changer in this. They have a 29.3% stake in Lonmin. And on the 28th of May, Lonmin shareholders will be voting on whether to go ahead. But they need a vote of 75% in order for the deal to go through. Do we know what PIC's position is on this particular issue? Could they decide to vote against the deal? And of course, they do have a bit of a shareholding in Sibanye itself.
Sure. I mean, they're playing the cards very close to the chest, at least in what they've come out publicly and stated in the media, and they stated that they don't comment on their voting before a decision has been made.
Hmm.
So we really don't know which way it'll go at this stage. But I think it would be sort of almost a ground-shaking decision for them to vote against the deal, specifically because Lonmin's board and management have come out so strongly in favor of the deal. I think it would be a bit out of character for the PIC to engage in such openly hostile voting, but one never knows. I mean, the times have changed, and shareholders take their voting obligations very seriously these days, so it may happen, but I'd be surprised if it does happen.
Mm. As we've discussed before, some of the PGM commodities have performed very well, like you mentioned, and this has changed the fortunes of platinum companies. But as we know, these moves are cyclical, and the reverse can also occur. So do you think, come rain or shine, Lonmin needs to have a deal, or with the current prices it's been achieving, it can afford to go solo again and have enough reserves stashed in not-so-rosy times going ahead?
Look, if current prices prevail and if current prices are sustainable, then Lonmin is nicely profitable. The problem still is their costs mining costs, which even in this very favorable pricing environment, they had a unit cost increase of in the order of 15% over the past 3 to 6 months per ounce of PGM mined. And that is still an unsustainable performance. Now, if this deal does not proceed, I think London will be left in the lurch somewhat, and the company will be rudderless. I struggle to see how an executive management team survives this transaction being voted down. I do think, having backed the transaction so vociferously, that the CEO and probably members of the board will be under tremendous pressure from shareholders to resign and step aside if the deal gets voted down.
Hmm.
And that leads to a situation where the company is, as I say, rudderless to some extent, and it's not clear to see who will be willing to take on the what could be a poison chalice.
Yes.
if you take on the leadership of London. It is still a very difficult proposition, a very difficult business to manage, because you are continually facing older shafts with a declining production profile. And that is something which Sibanye and Neil Froneman is historically has experience in managing, so it sort of fits the DNA of their business, but it is not a type of business which many people out there have the, let's say, have the stomach for.
Yes, indeed. So you think that you're inclined to believe that the PIC is not likely to bow down to minority shareholder pressure, but let's just say that they do. Presumably the unions would be quite happy, particularly AMCU.
Sure, one would venture to say so, that the unions will be quite happy. But I do think that the unions, I mean, with the recent developments in the platinum space specifically, and with AMCU's strike at Sibanye and the outcome of those negotiations and the court processes there, and also with Amplats' announcement today about developments at Mototolo, I do think the influence of the unions have maybe waned somewhat over the past few months, and that the unions are maybe less of a pressing issue and a dire concern compared to what they maybe were, say, a year or so ago.
Yes.
So I think, yes, unions will be glad, but I do think that their voice probably counts for a bit less today than it did maybe 6 months or a year or 2 years ago.
We do have just 1 minute left. What are your views around the discussions that are going to take place on wages on the platinum belt?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, given recent developments, I think for the first time in many years, the platinum miners are probably in a much better bargaining position to negotiate reasonable and realistic, let's call them inflationary type of wage increases, and not the sort of double-digit numbers that the unions have pressed for historically. So I think for the first time in many years, probably a bit more positive prognosis from a mining company point of view than what we've seen in the past number of years.
Okay, Willem, thanks very much for joining us. That was Willem Herzog. He's a mining analyst at Rosendahl Partners. And that's pretty much all we have for you this evening. Do take care. We'll have more for you tomorrow.